I think back over the years passed, and I go back to my teenage years when one day I was driving down the streets of Memphis. It was a busy street. My cousin Danny was riding shotgun. I was 16 years old. I was in my 1972 blue Dodge Demon. That she was beautiful. She had curves out of this world, y'all. That she was my baby. She was my number two. 16 at the time, I had a number one, and she had curves, and she was beautiful. That's Sister Jackie, Ben Higginbottom, now love. Amen, amen. Maybe make sure I put that in there. But y'all, we're driving down the street. We're driving down the street, and all of a sudden, she begins to kind of sputter on me. She's sputtering. I'm wondering what's going on. And so I get off to the side of the road, and she sputters out that my girl quit me. She quit on me. Didn't know what was wrong, and so my cousin and I, we jumped out of the car, y'all. We lifted up the hood, and like we were mechanics, y'all, we knew nothing about how to fix a car. And so we're looking at stuff, and we're going, oh, is it the oil? Nope. Is it the distributor thing, the plug? Nope. Is it the radiator? What is it? We didn't know what it was. And so we get back into the car to figure out what our strategy is going to be, y'all, because look back then, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have cell phones. We're figuring out our strategy, and so we're looking for, thinking about where is the nearest telephone booth. Now, I have to stop and explain that because I know we got some young people in here. A telephone booth, you know, it's a box, y'all, and you'll find it at a gas station. You'll find it on a street corner, and it's got a telephone in it. It's a telephone, and you have to lift the receiver of the telephone, and you have to take a quarter out of your purse or your pocket and put it into the telephone, and you have to dial the number. So I want to make sure y'all with me. So before we did that, we were still sitting in the car, y'all, and I looked down at the needle, gas. And sure enough, my girl was sitting on empty. We sat there, y'all, at off the highway in Memphis, Tennessee, busy road, y'all, in my beautiful 1972 blue Dodge Duster with her curves looking real good. But she sat there on empty. Church, can we be honest for just 1 minute? Sometimes our lives look like that. That we find our lives parked on the side road of life, and we feel like we're sitting on E. We all know something about that feeling of emptiness, and now don't we know that? That our lives were once moving, y'all, but now it's on empty. That we live with empty spaces and places. We live in empty seasons. We have empty prayers. That we pray, and it feels like our prayers hit the ceiling and bounce back down. They go nowhere. We feel like we're empty. Maybe there's someone here today that you came here this morning and you feel like your life is on empty. You feel like you are in an empty place, that you have empty dreams that have not come to pass, empty relationships where people walk out on you. I found out something about emptiness. It doesn't discriminate. Doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter your background. That every person, every community, every life will experience emptiness at some point. We live in a world, y'all, full of full schedules, but empty souls. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. It reads as thus. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be prepared, must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, the answer for emptiness. The answer for emptiness. So in our text for this morning, there are these women who show up at the grave of Jesus. They're expecting death. They're expecting silence. They're expecting finality. But they encounter an empty grave. They encounter an empty tomb. And really what they encounter is resurrection power, that Jesus got up from the grave, y'all. That's what we celebrate today. This is the good news of Easter. This is the good news of Resurrection Sunday and Resurrection Day, that Jesus got up from the grave, and we can shout on that. The empty grave is God's answer for every empty place in your life, and I believe that this morning. That God took an empty grave and turned it into a full answer. So what seems like it's empty to us is never empty to God. And I want somebody to know today, what looks like it's empty in your life right now, God may be working in your situation and working the greatest work that he can work in your life. So I want to simply offer a few words of encouragement from the text today that can help all of us when we find ourselves in the empty places of life. The first thing is simply this. When life feels empty, keep showing up. When life seems void and dark and destitute, keep showing up. Keep showing up for your family. Keep showing up in your marriage. Keep showing up on your job. Keep showing up for Jesus. Look at verses 1-3. Let me read them again for you. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. So these women had every reason not to show up that day. That Jesus was dead. He was buried. The future looked uncertain to them, but they still got up early in the morning. That's what the text, they got up early in the morning. And they went to the grave. They still gathered their spices. They made their way to the tomb. They showed up in grief. They showed up in confusion. They showed up without answers. They showed up in a place called empty. But the reality is they still showed up. I love the story in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It tells the story of a woman by the name of Hannah. Some of y'all know the story real well. That Hannah had a husband by the name of Elkanah. And Elkanah was a player. He had more than one wife. He had another wife by the name of Peninnah. And Peninnah was able to produce children for Elkanah. And that was good in that day. That's what a woman was supposed to do. But she produced children. But Hannah had no children. That her womb was empty. And the story plays out, it says that every year when they went to Shiloh, when they went to the tabernacle, that Peninnah would tease Hannah. Girl, you can't have no children. Girl, you know you ain't nothing. Girl, you know you're just a disgrace. Be careful. We go to the temple, we go to the house of God. On the way to church, that's one of the greatest places where the enemy will attack you. Look at me, don't look around. That you on your way to church and then the argument starts in the car. You trying to get up and go to church and you can't find a matching sock. You get up and go to church and in hellhounds chase you. But get the picture. Here's Hannah, y'all. They're going to the temple. They're going to the house of God. They're going to worship God. And here Penina is, nah, nanny, boo, boo. Story goes on that Hannah gets to the temple and she begins to pray. She begins to ask God that he would open up her womb, that he would open up her emptiness. And Eli, the priest, was there on one particular, he was there that day and he saw her praying and her lips looked like she was drunk, y'all, that she was just, she was a drunken woman. But she was crying out in despair. She was crying out in her emptiness and God heard her cry. That someone here, maybe you're empty right now, God will hear your cry. And God did what he said he would do for Hannah, that she produced a child. And she gave birth to a great prophet by the name of Samuel. The point I want to make in her story is that she didn't stop worshiping. That every year she kept going back to the tabernacle. Every year she kept raising hands to God. Every year she kept on praying. Every year she kept on going and serving God. I want to say this, keep on coming. Don't stop. Don't stop coming. There was a woman who had been praying for her son for years, and he was in great trouble, with the in and out of jail. Every Sunday she came to church, she would take her seat, and she would cry out. She would have tears streaming from her eyes. And people started wondering, why does she keep on coming? Nothing has changed. Week in and week out, son still getting in trouble. Trouble seemed to find him some kind of way. He was a magnet to trouble. But she kept on coming and she kept on coming. But finally one Sunday, her son showed up to church with her. He walked down the aisle and he gave his life to Jesus. It turned his whole life around. And after the sermon, folk were asking her, how did you keep on showing up? Why would you keep on showing up to church and everything is going on in your life? She says this, because I knew that if I kept showing up, eventually God would show out. Yeah. Can I tell you this Resurrection Sunday that Jesus showed up and he will show out? Yeah. So I don't care if you are a CME Christian, that you come Christmas, Mother's Day, or Easter. I'm just glad you showed up. I'm glad that you showed up. I'm glad you're in the house of God today. And maybe you'll get just what you need, so you'll keep on showing up to God's house each and every Sunday. Don't let what's empty stop your expectation. God will meet you in consistency. God will meet you in your strength, but God will also meet you, listen, when you are persistent. So keep on showing up to the house of God. Keep on worshiping. Keep on praying. Keep on lifting holy hands to God and watch God show out in your life. But you got to show up. Keep on showing up. The women, they showed up. When the disciples went high, they showed up. Keep on showing up. Not only that, I want to encourage our hearts, y'all, quickly as we move through the text. Encourage our hearts when we find ourselves in those empty places of life. When life feels empty, it matters where you look to be filled. It matters where you look to be filled. Look at verses 4-7 in the text. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And they would rise again on the third day." So on a silent Sunday, these women show up at the grave and they find that the stone had been rolled away. They went expecting death, y'all. They went expecting silence. But Jesus was not there. They were puzzled and they had a bunch of empty questions. Where was their Jesus? The angel's response, y'all, is powerful. So why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? In other words, you're searching in the wrong place. That they came looking for Jesus, but they were looking in yesterday's location. And sometimes that's our problem, y'all. We We're looking at all the wrong places for the wrong things when Jesus is the answer. That he can fill the God space in the God void in your life, in my life. Some of us are exhausted, not because God isn't moving, but because we're looking in the wrong places. Why are you looking for life in dead things? Dead relationships. Dead habits. Dead pursuits. Only a living Christ can fill a living void. I love Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, which says this: since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on heavenly things. Set your sights on things above, where Christ dwells. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about the things of heaven, not the things on earth. Yeah, we spend so much time looking for people to please us, for peace in people, for validation in folk, in social media and everything else, that we look for identity in broken places and broken systems. When we find our identity, we find our purpose in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you looking? What are you looking for? You can fill your life with money, try to fill it with success and attention, but I came to let you know, if Jesus is not in it, there'll always be a void that you won't be fulfilled. I want to let you know you can find fulfillment in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, that he can fill the voids in your life and every empty space in your life. Because what we're missing, y'all, it's not something. What we're missing is someone. John 10 and 10 says this: the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundant. How many of you want the abundant life that Jesus has to offer? Don't fool me now. I want the abundant life that he offers me, that the world simply cannot give us. It was a great theologian and philosopher, the Bishop of Hippo, St. Augustine, penned this. He says, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. That you can woosah, that you can find your rest in this risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a story, y'all, of a man that lost his keys in his house one day. The man is searching high and low around the house for his keys. So he decided to go outside, y'all, look under the streetlight. He's looking for his keys under the streetlight. Somebody asked him, why are you looking for your keys out here under the streetlight? He said, because the light is better out here. Y'all know what? That's how we live our lives sometimes. We're looking for the comfortable. We're looking for the familiar. We're looking for the easy. Perhaps that's not where Jesus is. That we have to look where he is. The women were looking for him in the tomb, but he was not there. And too many of us are looking for Jesus and looking for things where he is not. If you're looking for Jesus, look for him in his word. If you're looking for Jesus, show up to church. If you're looking for Jesus, you will find him. That's what God said. If you search for me with your whole heart, you will find me. That he's not lost. That we are the ones that are lost. But we can find him when we seek him with our whole hearts. When life feels empty, it matters where you look to be filled. It matters that we keep on showing up. And just this final word of encouragement, and we can go home, y'all, and we can get some chicken. Encourage your hearts from this last thought. As we think about the empty places in our lives, and I just believe there are enough, I'm not being prophetic, there are enough people in here right now that you showed up today, and there's some emptiness in your life. There's some emptiness in your household. There's some emptiness in your heart. That you showed up dressed up looking real good today. But deep down on the inside, you are empty. This last thing, when life feels empty, Jesus' resurrection redefines our empty. When life feels empty, Jesus' resurrection redefines empty. Look at verses 8 through 12. Then they remember that what he had said. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to these men, so they didn't believe. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb. Look, stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. So the women rushed, y'all, to tell the 11 disciples what had happened, but they didn't believe. The disciple Peter, along with John, that they run to the tomb, they look inside, and they saw that it was empty. John's gospel records that after they investigated the tomb, that they looked and they stooped and they looked, and what did they do? They went home. They went home. Peter, what you want to eat, man? They went home. They didn't remember what Jesus had told them, that he would rise from the dead. So what's different between Peter and John and these women? Well, on this joyful day, on this great day, they saw Jesus. It was because of the resurrection that their lives were changed. They saw the living Savior. They knew that he had risen. What looked like loss, y'all, was actually victory. Luke chapter 15 tells the story of a young man that demanded his inheritance from his father. Y'all know the story, the prodigal son. So the young man gets his inheritance from his father. He packs his bag and he goes off to a strange land. And he spends up all of his money, y'all. He loses everything. And there he is, busted and disgusted. He has nothing. But I love that story because it says he finally came to his senses. That he finally came to himself. But before he could come to himself, he had to come to empty. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes that's where God can do his greatest work, when we come to empty. When we're down to nothing, God is up to something. Sometimes God has to take you to the place of empty to fill you up. Yeah. Man lost everything that he had. He lost his job, his house, his money. Bank account was dry. He lost his stability. The man said he felt empty, like he had nothing left. But in that empty season, he found God in a deeper way. Hear me this morning. He started praying more, started trusting more, going to church more. Years later, he said losing everything was the best thing that could have happened to him, because he found everything that he needed. Can I remind you this morning that Jesus is everything that you need? That you can find what you need in him. If you're here this morning, you feel like you're empty, you can find it in him. If you prayed and you cried and you've asked God for certain things and they have not come to pass, keep on coming. Keep on praying. Keep on searching. Keep on looking. Keep on hoping and trusting God. Sometimes God allows emptiness, y'all, not to punish us, but to prepare us. Because when you're empty of yourself, you're available to him. Anybody ever had an empty bank account? And you've trusted God more than ever. Anybody been through an empty season in your life? But it was in that empty season that God was building you. God was growing you. God was showing himself to be strong in your life. Sometimes he has to take us to the place of emptiness. That he redefines emptiness. Jesus' resurrection, it redefines emptiness. Think about the empty tomb. It means victory over death. The empty grave clothes. It means that Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the price has been paid for you and for me. If the tomb is empty, your past has been forgiven. He got up from the grave for you and for me to give us brand new life. Yeah. Empty to the women, look void. Empty tomb to the women, look discouraging and disappointing, because they didn't know where Jesus was. But when they found out that he was resurrected, that he got up from the grave, I believe this morning they were filled with joy. And if you know he got up from the grave, you ought to be filled with joy. I don't care what emptiness may be in your life, you ought to be filled with joy this morning because of what Jesus did for you and for me. And we ought to be able to say, like that songwriter said, draw from my well that shall never run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up. Let it overflow. Is that your heart's desire this morning? Sometimes we come in on empty, y'all. Sometimes life is empty, but he can fill you up. He can fill you with his presence. He can fill you with his power. Do you believe that this morning? I'm talking to somebody. Your life is on empty, and he wants to fill you this morning. Fill you with his power. Fill you with his presence. Will you allow him to do it today?
Thank you, Lord.
Again, maybe you walked in here on empty, but you can leave full. Maybe you're empty of hope, empty of joy, empty of direction, but you don't have to leave here the same. You don't have to leave here the same. You don't have to leave here with your head hung down. You can lift your head high. You don't have to leave here discouraged. You can leave here encouraged. You can leave here with the joy of the Lord, which is your salvation. You can leave here with a skip in your step. You can leave here with a praise on your lips. You don't have to leave here empty. You don't have to leave here void. You don't have to leave here broken. You can leave here whole because of what Jesus did for you and for me. He got up from the grave. He got up from the grave with all power. Power to save us. Power to raise us. Power to keep us. And I believe that this morning. Do you believe he got up? Then give him a praise this morning. If you believe it, can you give him a praise this morning? God, we thank you for Jesus. God, we thank you for salvation. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your resurrection power. We thank you for your keeping power, God. He got up. And I believe that he's the answer for our emptiness. If you're tired of being empty, you're ready to be filled with life, hope, and purpose. The same Jesus that got up is the same Jesus that's here right now. Think about this. The emptiest place on earth became the fullest declaration in history. The declaration is, he is not here. He is risen. Resurrection power is the answer to our emptiness. And the church said, hallelujah and amen. That's it. That's it. That's it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Can we give God praise one more time? Not just because I ask you to, but because he deserves it. He deserves it. All the praise, all the glory, all the honor to you, oh God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for all that our ears have heard, our hearts have felt on this resurrection day. Father, we reflect on what you did for us. But again, Isaiah said it best. That he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's by his stripes we are healed. That Father, we are bought into a right relationship with you because and only because of the blood of Jesus, what he did on Calvary's cross. And for that we are grateful. And in this moment, Father, in this moment, moved by the power of your Spirit, speak to the heart of someone here today that may not be in a saving relationship with Jesus. Pray, oh God, that they would hear your word this morning, that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. There's none righteous, no, not one. We admit that we all have sinned. We've missed the target, we've missed the mark. But we believe this morning, oh God, that you sent your son Jesus into the world to die for our sins. But he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he got back up with all power. It's this Jesus. It's this Jesus that we believe in. This Jesus that we preach. This Jesus that we proclaim. So Holy Spirit, move as only you can. Touch the heart of someone today. Pray for those that may be in a saving relationship, but they're not connected to a local fellowship somewhere. That you would touch the heart of that person. To let them know that Living Faith Community Church is not a perfect church, but it's a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. And we serve you, a perfect God. So Holy Spirit, move as only you can. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. The church said amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Perhaps there's someone here today. There's someone here today. Again, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Let me make it real plain. The Bible that we read and that we believe lets us know that when God created us, he created a perfect world. That there was a time when sin was not in the world. But when sin entered the world through a man by the name of Adam, a woman by the name of Eve, that sin was passed down to all of us for all generations. Again, all the sin and falling short of his glory. Because of sin, there was nothing we could do to come into a relationship with God. Sin could not stay in his sight. He's a perfect God. So from the foundation of the world, God had a plan. And that plan is found in Jesus. That in the fullness of time, that Jesus came into the world, that he walked on this earth, he healed the sick, he gave sight to the blind, but he was persecuted and they killed him. And he died on a cross at Calvary. But 3 days later, he got back up with all power. And that power is to save you. If you are here today, we present to you the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Won't you receive him in this moment? The hands of our ushers are extended. Follow them out to room number one across the hallway. They will gather information and we'll welcome you with open arms. And maybe you are here today and you're in a saving relationship with Jesus, but you're not connected to a local church where you can worship with other believers, pray with other believers, fellowship with other believers, grow with other believers. We invite you today. Hands are extended. Won't you come?
There's love, 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 love,
yeah, yeah. Won't you come right now?
Jesus went to Calvary.
Jesus went. Think about that.
To Calvary.
To save a wretch.
To save a wretch.
Like you and me.
Like you and me. That's love. Love, 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 love. Love, love, love.
One
they
more time.
Hung him high.
They hung him high.
Think about
they
it.
They stretched him wide.
They stretched him wide.
He hung his head.
He hung his dead.
Yes, it. Do you believe that this morning? Won't you come right now? Just get up from where you are. Go across the hallway. And maybe you're saying in this moment, I don't want to get up in front of a bunch of people and walk out the
That's
door. Listen.
How.
After this worship experience, someone will be across the hallway, one of our new member ministry advisors. They will meet you. They will gather information and will welcome you with open arms. Hallelujah. And the church said, amen and amen. Come.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.